This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Stephanie Lecce. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Depression affects nearly 1 in 10 Americans at some point in their lifetimes. The Centers for Disease Control report 5% of people suffer from major depression. But despite its prevalence, many experts say stigmas around depression continue, and it's one of the reasons why half of those suffering never seek help. That was true for Charles Kubley. The Milwaukee man suffered from depression for years in silence. He committed suicide at 28. Since his death, his mother, Billy, has worked to bring awareness to depression through a foundation in Charlie's name. That includes sponsoring tomorrow's second annual Depression Recognition Day at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Kubley joins me in studio with Dr. John Lerman, professor of psychiatry and behavioral medicine there. Billy, John, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Given that depression does affect a significant percentage of the population, why is it that we still need to bring awareness to this issue?
I think one of the key reasons is due to the stigma about mental illness. I think we're in a better place now than we've ever been before, but we still have a long ways to go.
Now, Billy, your family has had a firsthand experience with depression. Tell us about your son, Charles, and what he went through.
Well, Charlie was probably the last person you would think of that would have had depression. He was a very good student, many friends, and a great sense of humor, lots of fun. And it didn't come to being until he was 23. And he had graduated from college, living with us, and I saw a jar of St. John's wort in the kitchen. And it had just come out in the news that that could be good for depression. And I was shocked. Last person anybody would have expected, and he had covered for years. And he did say to me the year before he died, I wish I had done something in high school. And so then, of course, I said, well, we need to get help right away. So we immediately started him. So he was under psychiatric care for 5 years. The psychologist, he told me that the first question he asks when he has a new patient is, are you suicidal? And Charlie said, I think about it all the time, but I'm not going to do it because of my family. And then 6 weeks later, he died. So somewhere along the line, he gave up hope.
Dr. Lerman, is this something that you hear a lot, that people who are suffering from depression can cover for it, that even their family members don't often know they're suffering?
Yes, we do hear that. It is something that people can try to hide, again, oftentimes because they're embarrassed about it. They know something is wrong. They are afraid to share it with people, afraid of what people are going to think of them. Oftentimes another part of it is that they tend to isolate when they're depressed, which puts distance between them and their loved ones. So again, it's harder to know what's going on with that person when they're isolating more. I think oftentimes what may have exposed this to Charlie's family was the fact that he was living at home during this time, and they were really close in close proximity, and a loving mom would realize that.
I want to add to what Dr. Lerman said. I think the stigma is also very great. And so he didn't want to share this with his friends. He was embarrassed, he said.
It seems like this effort to get rid of the stigma around depression has been around for as long as you can remember. Why is it just so persistent and so strong and difficult to get people who are suffering to understand it's not something to be ashamed of?
Well, we tried to tell our son that it's a disease. You could have heart disease, liver disease, diabetes. It's the same thing, but it's just in your head. And ours is genetic. And that's what needs to happen, that people accept it as this disease. And of course, it is not a weakness. It's not an embarrassment. It's not their fault. Just like any other disease, it's not our fault. What boggles my mind over the stigma is that you accept physical diseases. The head isn't floating up above here someplace. We're all attached. And so I just don't understand why we have the stigma for depression. But it goes back. Wait, remember breast cancer or any type of cancer in the 40s and the 50s and it would be whispered about? That's where we are still.
I think Billy makes a good point. I think we're a product of our past. 60, 70 years ago, we had no effective treatments for depression and really didn't recognize it as the brain disease that it is today, that we understand it as today. And because we didn't, how did people deal with mental illness in 60, 70 years ago? We hid them upstairs. We sent them away to a place where they would live away from society. And I think that still is haunting us. I also think part of the nature of mental illness, a disease of the brain, is that it's so close to home. To even try to imagine this happening to us if we've never suffered from depression or mental illness, it's unfathomable. And it almost hurts too much to even think about it. I can't imagine that going on with my brain. And so it's easier to keep at a distance and it's safer. So I think out of our own defense, we don't want to think about what having depression is. And then when you really struggle with it personally and have to face having this disease, the only thing that you have to equate it to is sadness. And we all have struggled with sadness. And we should be able to we're taught as children – well, you know, cheer up, you know, get in a better mood. But when you have the illness of major depression, it's not something you can turn around. You don't have control of it because it's a disease of your brain. It's not sadness. But that's the only thing we can really equate it to because that's the common experience that we all have. And what we're taught with sadness is that you can just snap out of it. But major depression is not something you can snap out of.
When Charlie came clean and told you about what he was going through, what did he describe he was feeling? What was he facing every day?
Well, I think there's pain with depression that they can't really describe. But it's also takes a physical toll on you too. And after he started taking his medicine, he was living with friends in the downtown area. So I didn't see him every day. And he was participating. He was very functioning. He had a great job. I wish you could see the scrapbook of all the laughter and the fun they had with him in the office. So he was very functioning. As I said, he had everything going for him. And people need to see that a person can be functioning, not the old idea of once in the over the cuckoo's nest and things like that. But the last year, he came back because his roommate had gotten married. But I knew in the morning if he was good or bad because I could tell how he was dressed. If he had his shirt tail hanging out and his tie untied, he'd go to work. But oftentimes, he couldn't maybe spend the whole day. But he had told only his boss that he had this. No one in the office knew. And his boss was very understanding and said, don't worry about it. When you can come, you can come. And so that's how we lived for 5 years. And I thought he was getting better, but didn't happen.
You talked about how we lacked effective treatment for depression for so long. Have we gotten much better, though?
We have become very effective at treating depression. It's not something that we can cure, okay? It's not a one-time treatment and you'll never have it again. But we are very effective at treating depression. But it does take a while. We need to be patient. It's not something that you give somebody a medication and the next day they're better. Our medications take 2 to 8 weeks to have their full effect. And that's assuming you've gotten to the correct dose. And that's each medication has about a 60% chance, 60 to 70% chance of being effective for the individual you're treating. That means there's a 30 to 40% chance that it won't be effective for the individual you're treating. And if they're one of the 30 to 40%, you're waiting 8 weeks to see if this medication's working before you start something else that's going to take 6 to 8 weeks. So it's an illness that takes time, and we need to be patient with. Major depression is best treated with a combination of psychotherapy, talk therapy, and medication. The combination is better than each of the individual forms of therapy by themselves. Now, mild depression may be treated with just one or the other. But if it's a severe depression, it really should receive both modes of treatment. I also want to say that major depression causes more suffering in this world than cancer. They've done some studies to evaluate the amount of suffering that an illness causes and also the amount of cost to our society, the time off of work or people losing jobs because of illnesses. Major depression is a major cost to our society. I will also say that a treatment of the past that is extremely effective for depression, electroconvulsive therapy, is the most effective treatment, but because of the stigma, many people will not consider it. But it has about a 70 to 90% chance of efficacy in treating depression. Now, it is more invasive, so we tend to use it for the more severe cases or the treatment-resistant cases. There are new treatments that involve neuromodulation, including transcranial magnetic stimulation and deep brain stimulation that are being studied that are also being shown to have effectiveness in treating depression.
I wonder if that's the challenge in part in raising awareness about depression, is that often those who are suffering from it may not be in a state to hear that you can get help, that there are effective treatments out there.
I would agree with that. If you're isolating and you have no energy, you don't enjoy things, you're not going to be social and going to want to share what's going on with you. Sometimes we're seeing some people that come forward afterwards, and I think that's one of the things that's making a difference with the stigma, is that we're seeing people who are famous come forward and talk about their experiences with mental illness, and people can see that this is truly a disease and can affect all of us, and that helps.
I did tell him that if he called 10 of his friends together, half of them would have said that they had had a bout with depression. The evening he died, about 20 kids came over, and one by one they sought our family members to tell them that they had had depression, and even some had been in an institution for it. If you don't talk about it, you don't have a support system. So if he had mentioned it, he would have had five friends or more that would have all been there together, just like you have with breast cancer, with any disease. That's what's so sad about these people that suffer from depression. They can't open up, therefore nobody knows, and they don't have a support.
Is that why you're telling Charlie's story today?
Yes. I've got to get it out there. I don't want a family to go through this again. And I do think Charlie felt, well, everybody will be better off without me. His friends were devastated, and they were angry because he had not told them. I see these young people that it just breaks my heart. We've had quite a few suicides this last summer on the east side, Whitefish Bay and Shorewood and River Hills and Nicolet High School. And I just wish we could reach these kids. And most of them, nobody knew about them. That's what's the whole sad thing about it, even their parents.
So this Depression Recognition Day that will be happening at the Medical College of Wisconsin, are you trying to reach those who are depressed, or are you trying to reach their families or their physicians? Who's the target audience here?
All of the above. We're going to have, in memory of Charlie, our second annual Depression Recognition Day. And at noon, we're going to have a talk by one of our scientists on transcranial magnetic stimulation, which is a treatment for depression. During the day, we're going to have a table that will also be staffed with National Alliance for the Mentally Ill, along with my faculty members and trainees from the Medical College of Wisconsin, Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Medicine. And there will be information available for anybody who stops by. Also, we have a self-assessment for depression that somebody can just take themselves, and if they, even without even taking that, are in need of getting connected with treatment, we're available to connect them with the mental health professional. And then at 5 o'clock, we will have another talk on major depression or depressive disorders. That talk will also have, my understanding, there'll be a patient who struggled with depression at that talk who'll be sharing their experience.
Why is it so important to have that sharing of the personal experience?
We need to have people get out there that have had it and see that you can be normal. What is normal? I'm normal. I have depression, but I'm still normal. And I can lead a fine life and function and so forth. So we need to see more of that.
Dr. John Lerman and Billy Kubley, thank you both so much for coming in. And Billy especially, thank you for telling us Charlie's story.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I like telling this story, if it will help.
Billy Kubley is co-founder of the Charles E. Kubley Foundation, created in honor of her son who suffered from depression and committed suicide. Dr. John Lerman is the Charles Kubley Chair in Psychiatry and Behavioral Medicine at the Medical College of Wisconsin, which is hosting its second annual Depression Recognition Day tomorrow. It features two lectures on depression and treatments, as well as offering other resources and self-rating tools. You can find more information at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. We'll take a quick break now and then learn what the Boys and Girls Clubs of America offer kids in the Midwest. This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.